1 Samuel chapter 15, I'm going to read two verses of Scripture and probably preach the entire chapter in about 20 minutes. You turn your hearing aid up. If you've listened to some of that music that's coming out over the radio and understand what they're saying, you're going to understand what I'm going to say. Verse number 21. And Samuel said, "Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying?"
All right.
The voice of the Lord. Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of the fat of the rams. For rebellion, that word's in there. Is that in y'all's Bible? It's in mine. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness. Y'all don't know what that means. Y'all never run across none of them. Stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he has also rejected thee from being king. You may be seated. May the Lord add his blessings to the reading of the word of God. In chapter 15, God sent Samuel down to tell Saul he had something he wanted him to do. God usually does not send you a letter or a paragraph or a sentence. When he tells you what he wants you to do, it's in one or two word form. You figure it out from there. And he sent Samuel down to tell Saul he wanted him to destroy the Amalekites, and he had a specific way he wanted it done. He said back in verse number 1, I believe it is, he said, "I want you to go down," and he said, "I want you to utterly destroy." That word utterly is deep right there. Just means complete. Completely destroy. Now, I don't know about you, but I didn't have to go get Webster to look that up. I kind of got a feeling I know what he's talking about. But Saul had different plans, just like you and I. We got a lot of his kin folks today around. And we see today, and they're in pulpits across America, we want to do things our way instead of God's way. But obedience is better than sacrifice. I want to preach for a little while on it pays to obey God. Obedience is necessary to have the blessings of God. The Bible says in Romans chapter 5, I believe it is, by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. And so, see, disobedience also does not hurt you alone, but it hurts others. And so we find that God requires us to be obedient rather than offering up our little sacrifice. Just because you done something from God today did not put a feather in your hat. But what you didn't do is going to cost you down the road. I've not done a whole lot more than I have done. And so we find that God told Saul to go down and destroy the Amalekites. And he went down, and there's another group of tribal people there, and he let them go because they had been good to God's people previously. Now, the Amalekites was always at enemies to God and to God's people. You study back in the Bible, there's heathen people. There's rebels. They're living, their whole tribe made their living off robbery and stealing. That's who Gideon had to fight when they came down every year. He had to fight the Amalekites. And God said, told Saul to go down and kill him. Well, Saul went down and he did part of it. Let me say right here that partial obedience is complete disobedience. Don't halfway do anything. If you're going to do it, do it. And God gave him instructions on what to do. He said, I want you to completely destroy it, completely do away with it. He said, just utterly destroy the entire nation. Well, Saul goes down and he does it partially. He brings back the king. That's the worst one he could brought back. I mean, that's the first that he ought to kill. I feel like killing something tonight, don't you? I'm in a killing mood. I just hope I can make you a killer before I leave here. You say, you ought not to preach that way. Well, that's the reason I'm up here and you ain't. He went down and brought back the king and put him in the house up there, and the people brought back the sheep and the goats. And as they brought him back, then Samuel approached him, went all the way to Gilgal and found him. And he said, first thing Saul said was, I have obeyed God. I have done exactly what he commanded me to do. Oh, Samuel said, I hear the lowing of the oxen and the bleating of the sheep down there somewhere. You didn't have no sheep when you come down here, but you got them now. You better watch out, the oxen are bellowing on you. Yeah. The sheep will start bleating after a while. And so here's what Saul said. The Bible says that Saul repented. But you don't repent through excuses. Repentance is without excuse. He said, I did what the people said do. Peter said, we ought to obey God rather than man. I did it because the people wanted to do it. We need some killing going on. But I don't know if you know it or not, or realize it or not, but we're in war. Now, I know what you're thinking. I know I've read the last verse. We are the winners of the war. I realize that. Yeah, we've already won. We ought to act like it. Amen. That's right. But we ought to act like we won. But we won the war, no doubt about that. But I got news for you. We're losing the battles. We're losing the battles. I see some things that if they'd have been killed way back then, they wouldn't be in our churches today. And because they didn't kill, it's costing you and I. And if we don't start killing some things, preacher, the crowd down the road, my youngins, my grandyoungins, your youngins, is not going to have a place to worship if we don't start killing some things. It's gradually, listen, the enemy don't come in the house of God real loud, no. No, they're slipping on you, but they'll make their presence known after a while. They've got to scoff out, they've got to look out and find a weak vessel they can work with, and that's where they start. There's some things that if we don't kill, they're going to kill us. They're going to kill us. Already doing it. In churches today. A young preacher surrendered when I was pastoring. Talked to him the other day. He said, Brother David, I'm fixing to break your heart. I said, what have you done? Well, you think the worst when you hear that I'm a preacher. He said, I'm changing my services. We're going contemporary. Oh, there's no room for contemporary at 9 o'clock and old-fashioned worship at 10 o'clock. You can have it all even enough. What you're trying to do is straddle the fence. You're being partially obedient and I'm being completely disobedient is what you're doing. I know our crowds are getting thin and ain't no need you saying you're not out for a number. Oh, I'd rather preach to 200 as two. I want to see the house full on Sunday morning just like you pastors do. But we're living in a time when what they've offered down the road down there is justifying our flesh. And we're starving our spirit today. One thing we need to kill in our churches, we need to kill legalism. There's some people, there's some places I can't go because of some places I do go. You mean you go down and preach to them? I'll tell you something. I'm thinking about parking right here and preaching. Just cause I don't wear a shirt like you do and comb my hair like you do, bless God, that does not mean the Holy Ghost don't come around where I'm at. Amen. You ain't the only one, brother, that's got it right. There's some things, bless God, it's going to take heaven to prove. You can be legalist. Listen to me now, don't y'all? Some of you are getting quiet, bless God, I preach. I remember a few years ago, and I could tell call names, but I won't y'all know who I'm talking about. I'm just not fur from here. There's a fella up there, if he wore a white shirt, everybody wore a white shirt. If he got his hair cut off, everybody got their hair cut off. I remember one year up there, he tried to grow a mustache, and some of them old boys did. Lord God. Jonathan, I've seen more hair on a piece of bacon. Some of them. Amen. You know what they're trying to do? Just be like somebody else. If God wanted them to be like somebody else, He'd have made them that way. I can't be like Brother Jonathan. I can't preach like him because God didn't call me to preach like him. I'm talking about being legalistic. I'm talking about you can't do nothing. I mean that crowd up there, they don't like nothing, nobody, and can't do nothing. Amen. That's right. Now I got 5 more points. Y'all better be quiet. Hey, I don't know if it's wrong to wear a blue shirt or not. You want me to wear a white and buy them? Amen. 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 I'm talking about they won't, you can't go nowhere and you can't, them people are living the dullest life of any, hey, I'm going to enjoy life. Hey, I ain't going through here but one time. In this body. I'm going to have a good time while I'm going through it. Amen. I'm talking about legalistic. I'm talking about you can't do it. You can't do nothing. Oh God. I'll tell you, I believe in separation just as much as anybody. I got convictions just as much as anybody. I don't believe in isolation, though. Well, I better hurry. I'm talking about legalism. I'm talking about legalistic. It's always been and always will be. But let me hurry up. Liberalism. You take them song books out of the rack and put you up a big television screen and put the words up there and half the time they don't work. What are you going to do if the power goes off? You're going to get mad preacher on for 20 minutes anyway, so you can't say, let the preacher preach. Bless God, you couldn't take it. Amen.
Amen.
I'm talking about liberals coming in. and they always got ideals about how you ought to run the church. They want to tell you, now, Pastor, I know it's your place, but now here's what would God help that crowd. I'm talking about liberalism. Preacher, I'm running out of time. I ain't got time for it. I'm talking about liberalism. And you let it come in just a little bit. Hey, if it'd been shot and killed way back there, we wouldn't be fighting this battle. It's because somebody wanted a crowd down here, and you can get a crowd if you let them come as they are and they'll leave as they are. Liberals. I've been to churches. You walk in with a Bible. And they'll say, are you preaching today? No. I just come by.
Just come to church.
Well, what are you doing with your Bible?
Yeah.
I'll make sure he preaches right one day. That's right. You may have it memorized. I don't.
Right.
I don't. I may not know when you're always right, but I know when you're wrong.
Yeah.
You get off on some of them rabbits, and I'm going to tell you that quick. They don't need you to run it. I wrote it last week. And shot it. I'm talking about liberal. Comes in. Comes in on you. A little bit at a time. Everything that starts little grows. Grows. Start growing on you. You can bend a tree, you can break a tree when it's young and tender. But you let her get up or you won't bend it. You won't break it. You know what you have to do to it? Live with it or cut it off. And let me say this. If you start killing some things around your place, your crowd will thin out. You know what I'm saying? Because they're afraid you're going to start shooting at them next. Preaching, we are, God help us. We've loved so much and give away so much love. Oh Lord, some of you look like you was dipped in honey before you come here, and you'll leave like you've been eating dill pickles. I'm talking about liberalism. I'm talking about them coming in, and they want to take over your service. The first thing they want to change is your song service. They don't want that. They don't want that. I've been to them churches. There ain't no song books. Ain't no Bibles. Ain't no God. That's right. It comes in. A little time. They change the style of music. Then they get the preacher off in the corner. Preacher, have you seen this new Bible? It's called the Living Bible. You need to get you one of these. I had a fella tell me that one time. I said, I am. Just quick in mind dies. Just quick as it dies, I'm going to get me one of these. But until then, I'm going to stick with what I've raised on. Ain't never found an error in it. Ain't never found it to be wrong. It ain't never let me down. And I don't believe it will. I believe it's what we're going to be judged by in the glory world. Is that word of God? Is that enough on that? I need to stay on it a while. I'm talking about liberalism. I'm talking about they want you to do it like we do. It breaks my heart to see people that was raised up the old time way that knows what it is to just get dumbfounded in the Holy Ghost. I'm talking about God moving and just saturate a crowd. But yet they traded that off. They traded that off for something to feed this flesh and make this flesh feel good. God help us if we don't start killing some things. I want to kill it wherever I go. I want to shoot it. I don't want to wound it. Somebody's liable to heal up the wound. But if you don't kill it, everyone's going to bring her back to life. Samuel said, I'm going to do what you didn't do. Bring the king, bring Agag up here. Agag walks up before Samuel. Samuel was a true man of God. Had strict morals about him. Boy, he wrote that book. He didn't mind telling a man if he's right, But if he's wrong, he's wrong. Boy, when old Saul didn't do the job, old Samuel said, give me the sword. He didn't just cut his head off. The Bible says he cut him in pieces. Probably throwed the pieces out there to the dogs, make sure somebody couldn't put him back together. Well, I'm telling you, we got a job to do as men of God. We better take a stand and start killing some things. You mark it down. If you don't, it's going to come back and start killing you. I admire you preachers. I admire you preachers that get in your pulpit week after week. Boy, you got something I ain't got. I admit it. Well, I want to kill them literally. Y'all want to do it spiritually. I want to do it literally. I mean, some of you have no idea what your pastor has to kill every year, every week, before he can get back in the pulpit. Day after day after day, somebody knows a better way to do it. If you know a better way than old-fashioned Holy Ghost preaching out of that Bible, let me know what it is. I'm telling you, we need to kill this liberalism before it kills us. Well, I'm getting some bad luck. I got one more and I'm quitting. We need to kill socialism. Y'all ain't got nothing down there for our young people. Oh yeah, we do. I am not against having things for young people. I think you ought to. I'd rather get them together on Friday night down at the house of God than have them down there at Wally World in the parking lot. And you ought to spend money on them too, bless God. Best investment you'll make. But some people have turned church houses into social clubs. That building that he's adding on to, I can't see it too dark. That building he's adding on to, that's the best fellowship hall I know. Boy, there's some fellowshipping going on around there last night with God. I love to be around my preacher brethren and family. Boy, I'd rather be out there with God. Listen to me. I'm not against some of the things that some of them say is of the devil. But I am for when you get them together, tell them what's in that book. You know what I've come to realize, Brother John? When I get to heaven, if I find out that smoking and chewing and dipping won't send you to hell, I'm going to beat the devil out of some preachers I know. I don't know why I said that. I'm talking about social. Let me give you this. I'm going to go. Formalism's took over our church. Some of you preachers already know what you're going to do Sunday morning when you come to the house of God. We don't hand out no menus at our church. God help you. Only if you don't, you got it memorized. I've had preachers call me and say, "Will you come to my church and fill in for me Sunday? I need to be off." Yeah, I don't mind. I'm available. I'm glad to. I love doing that. It's an honor that a preacher would call me and he's not going to be there and trust me with his little old flock. Boy, that's an honor. I don't take that lightly. He said, "Now you're in control of the service. Just do it like you know how to do it." You know what he's saying? We sing one song and we have prayer and we take up the offer. We sing two songs and then the choir's going to sing two songs. That's what we're going to do. I like to walk in and let the Holy Ghost order the service. And I ain't been to too many where it does that. But when it does that, I'm not going to be as ignorant as some preachers and say, "Now what do I do next?" Bless God, you don't do nothing next. You sit there, shut up, and let the Holy Ghost finish what it started. Talk about, oh God, oh God, oh God, get off of me. I'm going to give you this, I'm through. Get rid of the Johns. Easy believism. Boy, we got it in our Baptist churches. I went to they had a meeting up home, a Saturday night meeting, and I don't know this guy's name. I don't even know where he's from. He's a retired military sergeant out of the Army, and he's a former Hell's Angel. I don't know what that's got to do with anything. I reckon he thought he was mean or something. All the mean ones I know is in the grave. They kept talking about this man could preach. Well, I love good preaching. I love to hear it. I don't care. I mean, he was a Baptist preacher. One of them other, you know. And we got around. They had cooking that stuff with all that wild we eat. And he come out there. And, God, it's so hot you couldn't eat mess. I mean, I really thought it was all going to be Mexicans that showed up, but I wasn't. He got to preach for an hour, 15, 20 minutes, born his last year, I'm just dead. And he got through. There's two guys came out with two big boxes. He said, "Now all the men and boys here that want a Bible, raise your hand." Lord, I mean, people got to raise their hand. He said, "We're going, all you ladies, girls that want a Bible, raise your hand." Well, in fact, there's 35 Bibles what he had. And he passed them out. And he said, "Now, there was seven that didn't get Bibles." He said, "Now, you tell this preacher," pointing him out, said he was putting on the thing, said, "You tell him and give him your name and address, and I'll mail you a Bible. Make sure you get a Bible. You specify if you want a white one or a black one or a burgundy. And I'll mail you one." And all of a sudden that rascal jumped like somebody stuck him with a knife and started screaming like a Comanche Indian. Oh, Lord God, what's that? Now, if he had it, I didn't. And he's got to say, "Praise the Lord, 42 people got saved tonight." When? All he's done is cuss Southern Baptists the whole time he's been up there. And told them what to wear and what not to wear. But you know what? Now, here's my point. 42 people walked out of there believing they was all right. If you just raise your hand, God will save you. Oh, ain't more to it than that, honey. I've got as much confidence in some of these preachers sitting around here. If anything happened to me, I call them. Well, I say, "Pray, I need you to pray for me." But there's one thing they can't do. They can't pray the prayer of salvation for me. Oh, no. We can't pray you in. We can pray God to put a hedge about you. Put Holy Ghost conviction on you. Break your heart. But we can't pray in. You can't sign up. And you can't sign in. You can't do that. But I'm not blaming it on them. It's what's coming out over our book boards. That's all you got to do. I found out where he's a liberal church, he's a liberal preacher. I found out where there's a legalistic church, there's a legalistic preacher. Where there's a socialist church, there's a social preacher. Whatever's behind that pulpit is what's in that pew.